Amen.
Thank you, Father.
We'll turn to Colossians 1:27. There's half the teaching.
Okay.
Well, now, here's the actual teaching, but... the teaching tonight is, will you humble yourself and taking your place in Christ with the focus on Ephesians 3? But we're going to start off in Colossians chapter 1, page 206 in the Greek. There you go.
Colossians what?
Chapter 1.
Wish.
I'll tell you the verse in just a second. Isaiah, would you please read verse 27?
26 of chapter 1?
Yeah. Well, wait for Esther and Kate.
Even if
it's only chapter 24. But go ahead and go to chapter 1, verse 27. Dad, guys, the camera real quick.
It's only chapter 24.
Isaiah, it's not going to be the same chapter.
Chapter 1.
Colossians chapter 1.
Page 206.
No, he's
got the Bible.
I only have verse 14.
Okay, well, you can read out Esther's Bible. But before, what I need to go back to the testimony. Okay. Did we know why we were walking up the mountain?
No.
No. Elijah took off 10 minutes ahead of us, and my father slowed down to take pictures. And I was given a word, stay behind your dad. That's all I knew. Did I know why? No.
No.
When my dad went into the building, and I had a desire to go to the top of the mountain, well, that probably didn't surprise any of you guys. I'm an overachiever when it comes to exercise. But did I know why? No. My mom parking, my dad wearing that shirt. Had my dad not wore that shirt advertising, would these people have known? No. All these timings and these obedience, how important is it? I'll go back to, there was one time, so you see, just a little bit of obedience, he knows what he's doing. And I'll go back to one of my biggest mistakes I've ever had in my life. There was one night, I was standing right where that camera is. I had a revelation, I was not clear, Aaron, stay up and pray tonight. And I sat there, I said, that can't be Yahweh, it couldn't be Yahweh, and I wrestled with it because I wanted to go to bed, I wanted to do my own thing. Aaron, will you stay up tonight? I said, and I wrestled with it. It can't be Yahweh. It wasn't real clear. And then I heard, please. And I disregarded and went to bed. The next morning was 9/11/2001. I got that to haunt me the rest of my life. I should have been praying that whole night. That was all the terrorist attack. So that was the bad thing on that. But how important is your obedience? You don't need to know why. You just need to know what.
Yeah.
Go. Philip running to the eunuch. It said, Philip running. He had to catch up. Peter opening his mouth. And as you open your mouth in every little act of obedience, I promise you this. Not one single act of obedience will you regret when you go before Yahushua Mashiach. Every act of disobedience, you'll hang your head. You don't need to know why. You only need to know what. Colossians 1:27.
Unto whom God hath been pleased to make unknown
sacred secret
among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of the glory.
That's good right there. The sacred secret among the nations, which is Christ or the Mashiach in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3 and Colossians 3, the sacred secret. Had the adversary known, or the rulers of this age have known, they wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. I heard other people say, by nailing Jesus Christ to the cross, the adversary was nailing his own death sentence. He thought he was killing him, and he didn't do it. And what is this thing? It says, who is in you?
Christ.
Every believer. Romans 10:9, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from among the dead or awoken him or egiro him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. Make him your Lord. Once you become saved, who lives inside you?
Yahweh.
Yahweh and his son, Yehoshua. It says Mashiach, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It'll be page 170. And as you turn to page 170, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as I was looking at some of these scriptures, I was thinking about myself, my own. So Tim talked about my healing. I have a wonderful ministry. It's going into the gym and doing the impossible. Mm-hmm. Picking up weights that you can't do. You know what the flip side of that? If I'm wrong, I get hurt. I tore my bicep. Mm-hmm. I can't straighten this. So every time I look in the mirror, I can't straighten my arm. Guess what I'm haunted with? Failure. Right? Mm-hmm. And you go, okay. In my mind, every time I make a mistake or something like that, well, I receive it today. I'm going to get healed. I'll put it on the table.
Yes.
But I believe, and this is for all of us to be delivered. I think that each one of us can make a decision. All of us have had a life-changing moment in our life. Can we agree to that?
Yes.
One thing, we can have one of those every single day. Every day. I get a mind picture or a visual of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And sometimes I feel that Christ who is inside me is in a hospital bed with tubes in his nose, with his eyes closed. Help! Yeah, he's in there. Yeah, but he's comatose. Help! Your son's in here. I can't hear this guy. And I feel like he's in there and he's in a hospital bed. Is he in a hospital bed?
No.
That's why I was telling Caven, you have a war inside you of the old man and the new man. And we got to feed the new man. Anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Who would like to read that?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Melania.
Or know ye not that your body is a shrine of the Holy Spirit, and is within you, which ye have from Yahweh.
And that is the word naos. The nails. Ooh. David went to the Ark of the Covenant between the cherub. What met there? This is where Moses went to go meet the Creator of the universe. And David never saw Mars. He never saw Venus. He never saw the Milky Way. He never saw how big the sun was to the earth. Oh my goodness, this is where the God of the Hebrews meets the Elohim. And guess where he lives now? Inside you and inside me. We are the temple of the living God. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to meet the God of the Hebrews. Philippians chapter 2. Page 202. Chapter 2 of Philippians. Mom, would you read verse 8?
And in fashion being found as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon a cross.
Who was the humblest man who ever lived?
Yahushua.
He was the humblest man who ever lived. David gave me a testimony when I went to Kenya. Boy, did I graduate in a lot of areas when I went to Kenya. I got to meet David. And he said he was casting out a demon or an pure spirit to somebody like a witch doctor or something. And the demon started speaking to him. And I'll never forget when I heard this testimony. The demon or the impure spirit spoke to my brother in Christ and says, "Who do you think you are?" And David sat there for a second. He said, "I am a temple of the living God." And the guy got delivered. I heard that testimony and I was, what are you? The temple of the living God. What did the humblest man who ever lived say? Turn to Mark 14, page 52. Page 52, Mark 14, 61. Because sometimes we get the wrong idea what humility is. Mm-hmm. And so this teaching is taking your place in Christ, or the Mashiach. Mark chapter 14, Cable, would you read verse 61 and 62? And remember the emphasis.
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saith unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
Go ahead, 62.
And Jesus said, I am, and ye see.
Shall see
the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of the heaven.
The most humble man who ever lived. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he did not reveal his identity as the Mashiach until he was going to be delivered unto death. They said, Are you the Mashiach? What did he say? Did he just say yes? No, he quoted Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. He quoted, I will be coming in the clouds. Mm-hmm. Who did he say that these people were? John, chapter 8. Who was he speaking to, in my opinion? John, chapter 8. That's page 102. Verse 41. Every once in a while, we are the hands and feet of Christ, or the Mashiach. The adversary's hands and feet are men and women. They're ISIS, they're Islam, any false religion. They're people who, they're called anti-theists. They call themselves atheists. They're called anti-theists, or denialists. They're the hands and feet of the adversary. But Yehoshua was being questioned by the hands and feet of the adversary, and in my opinion, you know what he did? Did he even talk to them? No, I think he addressed their boss. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 41. You see here. And he looks at them, he says, Ye are doing the works of your father. They said unto him, We of fornication were not born. One father have we, Yahweh. And Yehoshua said unto them, If Yahweh had been your father, ye had been loving me. For I, from Yahweh, came forth and am here. For not even myself have I come, but he sent me forth. Wherefore is it that my speech ye do not understand, because ye cannot hear my word? Ye of your father, the adversary. Ye are of your father, the adversary. Ye of the adversary. Does that sound humble to us? Can you imagine going to seminary? Hey, Mr. Seminary Professor, you're the adversary. He would say, blasphemy. He would have ripped his shirt, called him right out. You can imagine that. Al Capone, I think of the adversary, it's just organized crime. And you're walking in like Elliot Ness going, Hey, Mr. Senator, we got your number. And what he did, he addressed the adversary too, because in Daniel, back there, Daniel, the quote back in Mark 14 is when he's coming in the book of Revelation. So I believe that this is when the adversary is going to be thrown down. He talked right to the adversary. He goes, Not only am I the Mashiach, but let me remind you, I am the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. And the seed of the woman, his heel, is going to crush your head. Mm-hmm. What do you think the adversary did then? Does that sound humble to you? Absolutely. Humility is getting in alignment yes. with what your father says. Does he tell a lie? No. Who does? Mm-hmm. Our brains. He goes, Get your words in line with who you are in Christ. And the most humble man in the world says, I'm going to crush your head. Woo! Romans chapter 16. It's page 165. I love this one. Which kid's going to read with the most enthusiasm? Now, okay, use the emphasis, okay? 16 verse 20, okay?
Okay. Howbeit, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The favor of our Lord Yahushua be with you.
Amen, right there. The Elohim of peace, or Shalom, mm-hmm. will soon crush the adversary under whose feet?
Our feet.
Our feet. We are the body of the Christ. That is humility. Every believer is the temple of the living God. You have God or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who are you in Christ? You are the foot that will crush the adversary who's deceiving the whole world. Ephesians 3, chapter 3 now. It's page 198. Now this is the emphasis of the whole teaching. Our identity in Christ. Page 198. That's so great because the Rotherham, well, this is E.W. Bullinger's Bible, this is the Rotherham glued together, so that's the two best Bibles. But the Rotherham, it will put emphasis brackets around the Hebrew and the Greek where the author intended emphasis. So we can be reading these things, and we see the double brackets and the single brackets, it means more emphasis. When you see these things, it's a grammatical inversion. But how important it is with some of these words to know when our Father, the author, wanted us to emphasize something. Are you guys there? 198. It's Ephesians chapter 3. You could just share Esther's. I'm going to try not to butcher this. It's not easy when I get excited. Slow down. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20a. Not B, just A. So it's the first part. Now, unto him who is able to do above all things, exceedingly, abundantly above. I want everybody to repeat after me. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Say it again. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. How many people here have a problem believing that Yahweh can do above all things exceedingly, abundantly, above? That makes sense. He can do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. E.W. Bullinger's notes on this, which is so neat, exceedingly, to exceed. Abundantly, they came to Yehoshua and they said, let the people go because there's no food. He goes, you feed them. Mm-hmm. Feeding 4,000, 5,000 people, is that abundantly? Yeah. And then having leftovers? Whew. That's to exceed abundantly. It says here, E.W. Bullinger's note says, exceedingly and abundantly together literally means beyond abundance. What is beyond abundance? And it equals infinitely. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above the things which we ask or conceive. How are we supposed to be asking for things?
In expectation.
You need to max out your imagination. If you are not maxing out your imagination, you are limiting Jesus Christ. We should be going and be seeking. Be knocking. What's the biggest buck you could ever imagine? What's the most beautiful grandchildren, great-grandchildren you could ever imagine? What is the greatest revival you could ever imagine? What is the greatest reward you could ever imagine? Now, take it two steps farther. We should be exercising the mind of Mashiach. We should be exercising our imagination. Because if we're not even exceeding that, then how can we even fathom what He is able to give us? Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Let me turn back to what page is that? 198? Now, part B. Okay, so we'll go back to part A. Now unto him who is able to do above all things, exceedingly, abundantly, above the things which we can ask or conceive. Here's the important part. Now here's the part that takes faith. Mm-hmm. According to the power which doth energize itself in Yahweh.
No, within us.
In us. Mm-hmm. Where is his power?
In us.
How many believers here, with me being chief, have been there on my bed praying to a far off Elohim and his son seated at the right hand going, when this message in a bottle received gets to you. Please, no. Help! I need help! I'm in depression again. I'm in debt again. Everybody's against me. Help! And I'm crying to an Elohim who's off in a foreign place, waiting for him to respond the email. Yahweh is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything according to the power which doth energize within who? Me. Activate your power. Activate your power.
Amen.
Expand your expectations and then activate your power. Amen. A lot of times I believe what is missing in our life. A lot of times I have people come to me and the prophecy is don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what my flesh wants? To give up. Because I'm tired of making myself vulnerable. I'm tired of waiting for this miracle or this thing to happen. I want to give up. I'm tired of making myself vulnerable. And then I receive a messenger saying, don't give up. And I'm sitting there feeling like he's toying with me every once in a while, going, well, just get to it. Hey, TikTok, buddy. And you know what Yahweh is doing? In my opinion, with a lot of us, he's waiting on us.
Yeah.
He's waiting on us going, when will you choose to believe? How long did it take Philip and Stephen to believe? How long did it take the eunuch of Ethiopia to say, baptize me? How long did it take? All it takes is for you to choose to believe who you are in Christ. Who lives inside you? Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah lives inside you. Let him out of the cage.
Yes.
You let him out and you feed him with the word.
Mm.
You want to know why there's a war going on inside you? What are you feeding on? Is it Fox News? Is it CNN? Is it Yahoo? Is it Google? What are you feeding? The old man, which is a little chihuahua, and I got a lion inside there, and every once in a while we're in a funk. We're in a funk and we feel like, oh, I just feel so sick. And you know what happens when you start feeling sick? The last thing you want to do is read the word. The last thing you want to do is go to fellowship or listen to the word or go to church. But here's what happens. Even a lion who's anemic, going through like chemotherapy, he's sitting there and his little stupid dog is peeing on him and barking at him. But if you feed that lion one piece of meat, what does he do? He wakes up and he devours that dog. And that's what we should do each day. Feed the lion of the tribe of Judah. And one of the best explanations I had of this was my father's. My father said, okay, here's one of his analogies. Imagine somebody in a house with no lights. There's no power. So they pick up the phone. They pick up the phone. They call the power company. They cry. They're in the dark. They're lonely. They're lost. We have no power. The power company goes, please hold. Power company checks the computer system. They check the circuit grid. They check all these things. They come back and they go, according to all our computers and stuff here, you have all the power you need. Oh, I don't, my lights work. They're going, flip the switch. Well, I can't feel the switch. I'm lonely. I'm depressed. I don't know where I am. Somebody from the power company, come and help me. No. You have what you need. Grow up. Well, I can't feel around. Have you guys ever been in a room where there's no lights?
Yes.
Oh. Start feeling around, hoping you don't feel a spider. You would feel it in the darkness. What would the power company tell that person? Feel around on the walls, and eventually, what are you going to find?
A switch.
A switch. You turn on one switch, guess what happens? You'll find another switch. Turn on that switch, guess what happens? You turn on another switch. Flip the switch. How do we energize, or how do we activate this nuclear reactor? First thing we do, we have to believe the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaks in tongues builds himself up. Are you sick and tired of being weak? Are you sick and tired of not being able to be delivered from that vice? Speak in tongues. Prophesy. That's the first thing. The second thing is, Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by what? Hearing what?
The
rhema, the spoken word. You take this prescription through the ear. You got to speak it. And that's why with my son, when he was reading out loud, I got a word. You have to read out loud. And I go, faith comes by reading? No, by hearing. defeated. The second thing is Mark 11, 23 and 24. It says what? You will have what you say. 23, what does it say in 24? When you be asking, believe you have received.
Yeah,
oh, I'm more than a comer. I can do all things to him who empowers me. Does it sound like I believe it?
No.
Make yourself believe it. Look in the mirror. Act like you believe it. What will happen? You will be feeding the line of the tribe of Judah.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 4:13. What does that say? We have the same spirit of faith.
Hallelujah.
The same spirit that split the Red Sea.
Hey, yeah.
Did Joshua or Yehoshua know how big the sun was compared to earth?
No.
No. He had no idea. But he says, sun and moon over Gibeon, stand still. How did that work? The same spirit is inside you.
Hey.
I believe, therefore I
speak.
If you want to know if somebody's taking their place in Christ, watch what's coming out of their mouth. And if they, something's coming out of their mouth that shouldn't be in love, say you need to correct that or retract some of those things. Now the next thing is, that was my dad's analogy through the power company. The question is, are you humble? David said when we're driving in Kenya, I am convinced the most humble man who ever lived is Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. What did that humble man say? I am the Lamb of God. All authority has been given to me. Does that sound humble? Absolutely.
Spoke the truth.
What has been given to you? Take your place in Christ and humble yourself. Taking your place in Christ is accepting who you are in Christ and putting your words where your mouth is. I am the temple of the living God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where is the power that energizes Yahweh and Jesus Christ or Yehoshua? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or conceive. Where is that power?
Within us.
It's in us. Wow. Where is that power? It's inside of us. What? We are the temple of the living God of the nails. And as soon as we flip our switch, our power switch, guess what happens to all the rest of the lights in the neighborhood, the houses with no lights? One in a light. They'll come to you and say, how did you do this? And you can help them activate who they are in Christ.
Amen.
Now he's waiting on us. So flip the switch and get out of the boat. So I'll go ahead and I'll have a prophecy for our listeners. I thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, and I thank you for the words we're about ready to hear from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you that Christ and Father, you are inside them, instigating fights against the old man, encouraging them to take the walls of Jericho, telling them to pick fights with the Pharaoh, telling them to feed the thousands with 12 loaves. I'm thankful that you ask us to do things that are impossible. I thank you that you ask us to go in directions where there are no maps so that we are more dependent upon you. I'm so thankful that you are inside of us. And as we build each other up, you'll confirm our place in Christ. And I'm thankful that you are the only one that knows satisfaction. So if we separate ourselves to you, you will confirm the direction we are to go. And it didn't say that Moses explained the whole story to Jethro. Where he was going about the burning bush, the thorn bush. It didn't say he explained everything to his wife necessarily. He just asked, let me go. I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that we just do what you say. And in the end, when we go before you, Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach, our family members will not be there. Our peers will not be there. Our teachers will not be there. All our people we know will not be there. It will just be us and Yehoshua Mashiach. And nobody knows specifically what our calling is except for us. And I thank you that we are dependent upon you solely, and for encouraging us to leave our nets behind as Peter did and James and John did, and cling after you, because this life is so short. It is so short. And help us be reminded of that compared to where we're going. Zion I thank you that nobody knows when Christ has come back either, so we just get ready for your return. My sons and my daughters know that it is your old man that keeps you from me. It is your old man that accuses you. It is your old man that smashes you and defames you and throws garbage all over you that says, and it's your old man that tried to keep you from me. And he's a liar and he's a deceiver. And he's never content. With one vice, he says he'll be content with one vice. He is not. You cannot give him enough drink. You cannot give him enough food. You cannot give him enough lust of the flesh. And the more you do it, the more he will accuse you to keep you from me. Well, what do? I've told you through the scriptures. If you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive and absolve you of all unrighteousness. And I will wash your sins, though they are as red as scarlet, as white as snow. So come to me. Because nobody loves you the way I love you. And I am the only one that will give you that peace that you know. You know what you need to do. Let me restore the peace in your life. Stop lying to yourself saying that peace cannot be obtained again. For it is already inside you and it never goes out. Although it might just be a small coal. All you got to do is fan that flame by speaking in tongues and confessing my scriptures out loud, who you are in Christ. And that little coal will become a raging fire in a matter of seconds. Though you look at your own life right now and you think that you are insignificant little coal, you don't mean that much, nobody expects anything. Well, I want you to know that I expect everything out of you. My expectations don't change because of your circumstances. My expectations don't go down because you quit believing. My expectations stay the same. And though Paul and Silas were in prison, did my expectations change? Did the power inside them change? The circumstances don't change the power. But it is your believing. So choose to believe. And it doesn't matter if you're in a prison. It doesn't matter if you're in a pit. It doesn't matter if you're stuck in an addiction. All you got to do is cry out with a circumcised heart saying, Father, deliver me. And as you do these things, I will come and snatch you out of that pit just like that. Your sins will be washed away as far as the east is from the west. All accusers, I will separate you and I will ask you not to go back. I will put my arm around you and we will walk forward into victory. So don't let any of your circumstances ever, ever, ever stop you. For Moses had plenty of circumstances. Gideon had plenty of circumstances. Peter had them. Everybody's full of circumstances, but you are full of me.
Amen. Amen.